News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now, I think I have found the theme song for the Garden Line on Pep Talk this morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. This is the time every week for the Garden Line from 9 to 10 with Mike Wiggins, who has been a leader of our community, the mayor. But he asked me to play a Carole King song from Tapestry, and I thought, we all follow your lead when it comes to gardening. How perfect is this song?
Oh, let me tell you. I bought that album, Meg, I bet 1970?
I think it was 72.
72.
I think. That was my very first album I ever bought.
I bought it not really knowing much about her.
Right, right.
But it's so amazing to me. That's 1972 music, which has stayed relevant here in 2026. Amazing.
Oh, well, I mean,
great music. What else can
you
say?
Oh my gosh, every single song on that album, and I know it by heart, every note.
I saw you singing. You were singing.
And how I can remember after all these years is kind of mind-boggling.
Right, exactly.
Because I can't remember what I did this morning, but I can remember every lyric of Carole King's Tapestry album.
Well, I'm glad we played that this morning.
That's for you, my friend.
Well, she is special. She's been on some...
she's on a tour, I think, yeah.
Yeah, she's been on a tour, but my goodness, that's classic, classic music.
She's iconic. And if you've never heard of her before and never heard that song,
well, everybody's heard of her.
You can go on Spotify, pull up Carole King, and what's kind of cool is it'll pull up the whole album for you.
Yeah, the album was called, as you said, Tapestry.
Yeah.
And got her sitting
by a window.
Yep. You know,
the picture's iconic.
Did it have a cat?
I think so, in my mind's eye. And she had that curly hair.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this is a gardening show, not a music show.
Although we could probably do one.
That would be a lot of fun. All right, Meg, I walked in here, and of course, we always talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it made a little rain today. That's good.
Yes.
We need the rain. Bring it on. Nice, slow rain. And we slide down into about the 40s on Thursday.
Overnight. We've got a little rain, a front coming through, and on the back side of that, we're going to dip in temperature a little bit.
There's no surprise there.
Yeah.
But what has surprised me was your news, which you saw on Facebook.
Somebody,
of course, it's on the internet, so that's always accurate, always totally accurate, that we may have some snow flurries next week.
I saw two different. Sorry, there's those guys that have their weather pages, and I said, one of them said, "Wake up, Pensacola! You might see flurries next week."
I rolled my eyes.
I thought, "What a joke!" And then, in my mind, I thought, "No, that's a joke." And the guy said, "This is not a joke." I thought, okay, smart Alec.
Exactly.
I don't know. I saw two different ones.
No.
That there might be this big cold front coming through for the whole country, apparently. Nope. But we might be at the bottom end of it, so we probably won't get it.
But still. It's just kind of the beginning of March.
Well, did we not say there probably would be one more before Easter?
One more. Well, before Easter. You always get that Easter cold.
Yeah, one more.
Then you kind of really cruise into spring. So, with that in mind... there's a couple of things we need to talk about today. One, I hope we'll get a bunch of texts. I'd love to see what people are up to as we get closer to the planting season. But we also we want to finish up our little checklist for spring.
Yes, we got halfway through, I think,
last week. We still need to finish up, believe it or not, our tree discussion.
Yes.
We can make it very short, but we had our long list of trees, but there are a couple we left out. So we need to talk about that. And I do want to talk about, if we have time, and we may not, and it could wait a week, our planting guides that are on the internet from the state, which are so good. I'm not sure I have the numbers in my head right, but on the annuals, blooming plants that we're going to plant in the spring when the frost is over, there are 50 choices.
Oh, my goodness.
50 choices.
Wow.
So we're going to do that. And also, when we're talking about weed control, we had a lot of that last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. We need to tie that into integrated pest management, which kind of, in simple terms, mean we only use the chemicals where they're needed. In other words, if you've got a jar of weed killer or even a bag of weed killer, why do the whole yard if you only have weeds in a portion of your yard? It just doesn't make sense. From an environmental standpoint, from a financial standpoint, mm-hmm. And from a safety standpoint, integrated pest management is really important.
Okay.
So that's what we need to do. A couple of things to add to all of that. I know it's going to rain today, but it's still dry. So I know last week we had turned on our sprinkler system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't turn them off. Let's go at least a couple times a week watering. Now, you don't want to, you probably don't have to water tomorrow if we get the rain today. But you know how it goes.
I know.
We're supposed to get it and all of that.
Well, it could be raining in town and not on the beach.
Exactly right. And, of course, we've been talking about this, but it deserves repeating, is that don't rush. Just don't rush all that pruning that has to be done. This is true confession. True confession right here. You ready? I broke the rules.
What?
I had some people coming over, and my dwarf lantana was about 3 feet high, totally brown, totally like a brown weed sitting there. I said, I just can't handle that. I've got to do something. So I it's a perennial. Mm-hmm. It'll come back. I do this every year. I've kind of cut it back to about 5 or 6 inches, and it will come back. So
are you trying to convince me or yourself?
Myself. I'm trying to make this public apology for not practicing what I preach.
Okay.
But anyway, so I broke the rules there. But for the most part, you do want to not do a bunch of pruning. And of course, your azaleas are getting ready to bloom.
I want to have
a show, mm-hmm. that includes us talking about the best variety of azaleas.
Okay.
For Pensacola.
Well, I've got pink azaleas blooming right now in my neighborhood.
And you know,
beautiful.
Do you know the name of them?
No.
That's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
That's exactly what we're going to talk about. And finally, I do want to mention, I saw in my neighborhood, the lawn service mowing a lawn. It's I think it's a zoysia lawn.
Uh-huh.
But still, I bet they took it to an inch.
Uh-oh.
It's just wrong. Be so careful. Everybody probably out there mowing their lawn already. We've got, if nothing else, you're chopping down some of the winter weeds.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't scalp it. That can give you long-term problems in your lawn as we move into the warmer months. So that's just a few things that are
just
going
a few.
On.
That's well, a long list,
yeah, exactly.
Sir.
I appreciate you allowing me to cleanse my soul.
Your gardening soul.
My gardening soul by cutting back my dwarf lantana.
Okay, you're forgiven.
Boy, and anyway, they were so beautiful this year.
Oh,
yellow.
Nice.
It takes that full sun. Doesn't take. So I would recommend that plant to anybody. But be ready in the winter. It's going to be just a bunch of brown sticks.
Oh no.
But it'll come back. Just don't cut it all the way down. And don't dig it up, because it will.
It'll come back.
Okay,
we're going to have to take a quick break here.
Oh, yes.
Already? Yes, sir. I know. Time flies.
It does.
If you're just joining us, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Every Tuesday at this time, it's the Garden Line with our gardening expert, Mike Wiggins. And if you have a question, we do take texts and questions from listeners. So please, if you got a gardening question about your lawn, about flowers, about weed, about pre-emergence, all of the above, text it in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is the Garden Line. I'm Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, and we're going through some checklists here for spring. So we got started on it, and then we had so many texts last week, we didn't get to everything. So let's try to see if we can get to the rest of your list, Mike.
Yeah, but take my word for it. We like the text better than me just talking.
That's what he just said.
Thank you. We thank you.
We've got some in. We're going to get to them in a few minutes
texts.
Here.
The checklist for spring, we started out last week talking about fertilizer, the proper fertilizer. And we'll get into that a little deeper, really, as we get into the month in which you should really do it, which is April and May. I'm talking about fertilizing plants with the rule of thumb, tight handful for every foot of height. I'm talking about cutting back azaleas, which is the absolute last thing you want to do right now because they are going to bloom. And while I'm talking about cutting back azaleas, we have to talk about that one text we got, Meg.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a beautiful, beautiful kind of a pinkish
bright
plant.
Pink.
And I told Peg, I walked over to check her computer to take a look at it. I said, that looks like a Pride of Mobile, Isaiah. and lo and behold, the person who sent it to us says, this is my Pride of Mobile, well, which is a great color for our area. They're all over the place.
And silly me, not knowing anything about it, I go, oh, I thought they meant it was the Pride of Mobile, like the Pride of Pensacola Beach or something. I didn't know it was the name of the flower.
It's probably both.
But it looks like a tree. It's gorgeous, y'all. It's huge.
Great picture.
Wow.
Great picture. And with a little concrete angel sitting in front.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah,
how cool is that? Exactly. Okay, well, just a couple more on the checklist for spring, and then we'll get back to some more later. Check lawn and garden limestone requirements. That's the soil test. Or we talked about last week, if you just are not in the mood or don't have the time to do the soil test, if you have St. Augustine grass and you haven't put lime on it, say, in 2 years, I would recommend that. If you have centipede grass, save your money. You don't need to do it because centipede doesn't need that lime. Plant a vegetable garden. We're going to talk about that a little later, mm-hmm. about the planting.
We had a couple questions
about
this morning
the planting
about that.
Guides that are available. Watch out for mole crickets as we get into late March and April. If you're getting an area of your lawn kind of turns brown, it could be mole crickets. They're not eating the grass, but they're burrowing up the roots, which makes the plant or the turf dry out. And finally, in April, here we are, another month, spray many of your landscaping plants with ultra-fine oil, which will help inhibit the scale insects from damaging the plant. That's a few. There are a few more, but we can get to those later.
Okay.
See what's going on.
Okay, so we got a text that came in, and it's about centipede grass. It's Mike. He was having a little trouble with his messaging. It says, I have what looks like torpedo grass in my centipede lawn. What is torpedo grass, and how do I control it? And that's from Bob.
Torpedo grass is evil.
Oh, no.
I don't know how else to word it. Torpedo grass, you'll notice, it's kind of a stiff blade, and it is one of the hardest plants to control, weeds to control. Using the pre-emergence weed control, probably on the label it says that, but I have found it is very difficult to control. Even if you use a non-selective weed killer like the old Roundup, that helped, but sometimes that just turned torpedo grass yellow. Uh-huh. If you dig it up, it's like digging up a bowl of spaghetti.
Oh, no.
The root system, Meg, is just a white mass, and so it's very hard even for those systemic weed killers that work.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. It's been around forever. It's the hardest weed we have in Pensacola to control. So sometimes the only solution is manual labor. Go ahead, dig it up best you can. But if you leave any of that root system in there, it'll come back. So it's very difficult. Now, I hope you've used the atrazine as a pre-emergence. If not, I would probably go ahead and do it. But if it's already up, you've already got the torpedo grass, that's not going to help you at all because atrazine is a pre-emergence.
Okay.
So I think manual labor is your best bet. Maybe if it's just in an isolated area, maybe dig it up, get it out of there, then resod that area with fresh sod. I can't emphasize enough how difficult torpedo grass is.
Okay, sorry, Bob. Probably not
Bob,
what you wanted
Bob,
to hear.
That's the bad Bob. News. I'm sorry, Bob. I wish I had better news. I have fought it for years and just cannot find anything. Now, if any of our fantastic gardeners out there have a solution for the torpedo grass, I would love to hear it.
Okay.
So shoot us a text and say, Mike, I've tried this and it worked.
Okay. 850-437-1620.
It's kind of like trying to get rid of that bamboo
that sprouts
up. It's just so difficult to do.
Okay, got another question. This is an unusual one.
You're laughing, I can tell.
I am. This is an unusual but very interesting. So, Mike, are my free-range chickens going to hurt my St. Augustine grass?
You're absolutely right, Meg.
Wait,
we have never, ever
had that question.
It's
a great question.
I guess it is a great question. I don't know.
Interesting. I wouldn't think so, but.
Well, I'm going to, this is awkward. I'm not sure how to even word this.
Do we need to put the research department on this?
No. I think I know enough to make, I will say this. Chickens, sometimes, here, this is just a good way to put it. Sometimes, especially many of the older gardeners, not mm-hmm. older gardeners, but some of the way back in the day, would use chicken fertilizer.
Oh, okay, sure.
But back in that same day, if they did that, it absolutely burned the turf.
Oh,
it was so strong mm-hmm. in nitrogen. I would say that would be a situation you may have to handle with chickens in your yard. Now, I'm talking through my hat here. Okay. But I would say that would be the problem I think I would have mm-hmm. would be, you know, if the chicken's spending all the time in one spot, that it might, the byproduct of that may be a fertilizer that could burn the grass.
So over-fertilization, perhaps.
Yeah, with the wrong fertilizer.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll think about that. We might throw this to the research department, but it is a great question, so we appreciate you sending it in. And if you've got one, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Our expert is Mike Wiggins, and we'll be taking texts from you all. So if you have a question about gardening, we'll be here for another half hour, 850-437-1620. Here's one, Mike. It says, I have a question. I just tuned in, so I hope I'm not changing the subject. I have a 25-year-old non-fruit-bearing pear tree. It's beautiful, but way overgrown. And they say it just bloomed the other day. Is it okay to cut it back now?
Yes. Yeah, I think it would be fine to do that. I guess they're probably talking about a Bradford pear, which is it's an ornamental pear.
It's not a non-fruit pear.
But let me give you one problem you might have with that tree, and I'm going to pose the problem because I really can't propose a solution.
Uh-oh.
But it's called fire blight.
Ooh.
Some years, the Bradford pears will get a fire blight, which it looks like somebody has walked up to that pear tree and with a blowtorch. And blowtorch a portion of it, not all of it. Now, there's not much one can do. The experts over the years have said, well, if you start spraying a fungicide in the fall, then maybe it'll, nobody does that. There's not much you can do about it. When you get that fire blight damage, you probably just can prune that off. It probably isn't gonna kill the tree, mm-hmm. just a portion of it. It's really funny. I've asked some of the experts over the years, why? Why do we have it some years and others? And they say, it's really weird. When you have a rainstorm at a certain angle in the early spring,
really?
that can bring that on. I don't know if I bought that, but
that's interesting.
It was an interesting response to that question. I'll tell you, another plant that will get fire blight is a loquat tree. I don't know if we talked about loquat trees the other day when we got into our tree discussion,
mm-hmm.
but loquat trees are really cool. They produce loquats. A lot of people will make loquat jam out of them. It's evergreen, doesn't lose its leaves,
mm-hmm.
but it will get the fire blight also. So be aware of that as you prune your Bradford pear. But go ahead and prune it. It won't hurt anything right now.
Okay.
It is a deciduous tree, and it's a good time to prune your deciduous trees. If nothing else, don't top it. But if nothing else, get the crossing branches and the dead branches out of there.
Okay. And we just got a text in from Steve in Escambia Bay. Good morning, Steve. He says, in regards to the chicken question, the chickens will scratch up the grass. So that's a good point. Okay. This is the Garden Line. No subject is off the gardening book list here. So
no,
if you want to.
We take all.
So if you have a question.
I don't know if our answers are good,
right,
but
right.
We take all of them.
We'll be back on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And you know what time it is. It's time for the Garden Line from 9 to 10 every Tuesday. Mike Wiggins is in the house. He's our gardening expert. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I think we need to change the name of the show.
What do you want to call it?
The Chicken Line. We have never, ever had chicken questions before, But our text line is loaded.
I'm telling you what, you have made Mike's day. So I don't have the name. Sorry, I don't have the name of this listener, but the one that asked the question about the chickens sent that back a text, and he says, "I never thought I could stump Mike!"
This is like the show we did years ago, Meg, right before you came, where we got onto armadillos. We spent 1 hour talking about armadillos.
So here we are on the chickens. Well, they're here. I mean,
that's right.
So he says it's three chickens and they have about 2,000 square feet to roam. And then right after that, we got a text in from it's from Stephen of Scambia Bay said the chickens will scratch up the grass.
Let's stop there. Okay. I don't know how far we want to get on this chicken thing, but you know, if you've got chickens in your yard scratching the turf, maybe that was substitute for aerating. What do you think? They would scratch the thatch out of the yard.
So what you're saying is if you have chickens, now you have aeration and fertilizer.
No, if you have chickens, you don't need to aerate. Chickens are taking.
That's what I'm saying. Aeration and fertilizer.
Absolutely. You have everything.
Okay. Everybody go out there and buy some chickens.
I will tell you this. It's a funny story. We don't have time for this. So I'm going to do it anyway. I've been a member of Rotary Club for a long time, my whole life, it seems. And years and years and years ago, we had a fella come speak to us. He had a new company, and he called it Rent a Chicken.
No.
And for people who wanted, just for fun, to have a chicken coop, you know, and have chicken eggs, you know, he said you could rent, he would bring the coop to your house.
Oh, my goodness.
You keep it as long as you want, and you come back and pick it up.
Oh.
I don't know if he was successful.
It
certainly got our attention.
There's always Google.
I guess there is. That's enough of that.
Okay, so anyway, we had another question. Let me see, I'm going to pull up my questions again. Oh, so someone wanted to know, does Mike Wiggins have a retail location?
We used to. Scambia Farmer Supply Company is what.
That was your company.
It was our company. Dad started that way back in the 50s. And it was around for years and years and years, and we really enjoyed that business. But it has no longer there.
Okay, got a question in from Carolyn. Good morning to you, Carolyn. It's a picture of a bird, and it says, "Something is eating my Satsuma trees. Love your program." And it's Carolyn. And then she says, "They are back. I had one coming for 2 weeks now." Oh, maybe this is the hummingbirds. "Always had love your program. You both make a great pair." Thanks, Carolyn. So there's a big picture. I think it's a hummingbird. That was last week. And then this week, "Good morning. How to get rid of the weed in my centipede grass. Always appreciate you both." So that's three texts that she had sent.
Right. Well, the weeds in centipede grass, that really is a very timely question.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all needed to put the pre-emergence weed control on. We liked mid-February. But if you hadn't gotten to it, it might work. You're not going to kill the weeds that are coming up, but it might inhibit future weeds coming up in the spring. If you don't want to go that direction, you can use what we call a post-emergence weed killer. We've talked about that a lot.
Uh-huh.
And one of my favorites is Trimec. Trimec is one of liquid you mix with water, obviously, and you go and spray on your broadleaf weeds. It's not going to do much for crabgrass. It's not going to do much for grassy weeds, but it's good for your broadleaf weeds, dollarweed, Florida pusley, Virginia buttonweed, things like that. Now, this goes back to our original comments when we started the show about integrated pest management. You need to get out there I like a pump-up sprayer as opposed to a bag of weed killer or even a hose attachment sprayer. Because with a pump-up sprayer, you can go right to where the weed is and spray it.
So really target the weed?
Yeah, target the weeds. And with your integrated pest management philosophy, you don't have to spray the whole yard.
Because
you obviously don't spray where there are no weeds, just where the weeds are. But you can do that, and you can do that now. The restriction on Trimec, for example, are many of your post-emergence weed killers is heat. We get into the high 80s, maybe even the mid 80s, and of course into the 90s as we get into summer. You need to put them on the shelf. it's too late to use them because you can do grave damage using post-emergence weed killers when it's too hot. The label will tell you that.
Mm.
The label will give you the parameters of what temperatures will work and which will do damage. So be very careful with that.
Okay. Got lots of texts rolling in. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. I'm hoping we'll be able to get to them all, but we will try. We have one here, Mike, that says, my husband seems to have cut... I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm not getting in the middle of this one.
I know. My,
no, sir.
My husband seems to have cut off all the plumes for our azalea bushes. So... So going forward, what is the proper time to trim azalea bushes so that you have the blooms in the spring?
Well, you trim them after they bloom. And, you know, who's to say here at this time of year, I bet you'll get more blooms. Even if he cut them, I bet you may get some more.
Don't you think, just as in his defense, he was trying to help?
I don't know the guy. I would think so. But really, I'm serious. I think you may get some blooms.
Okay.
You may get some blooms. And so I would obviously wait and see. If you don't, the time to prune it would be, let's say April 1st. We'll pick a date.
Oh, okay.
That's a good time to do it because they will set buds in July for 2027. But you haven't hurt the plant.
Okay,
good. I mean, you haven't hurt the plant by doing that. You've just destroyed the color mm-hmm. that you're going to get. I'll bet. I want to hear from this texter, I hope, in the next week or so. I bet you do get, even if he did prune them, unless he pruned them back, you know, way back,
mm-hmm.
I bet you get some blooms. I hope so.
Okay. All right. That's good advice. And we've got some more things on Mike's list to talk about, so we're going to come back with that. And I've got a couple more texts for you, Mike.
Okay.
This is The Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We will be back in just a couple minutes right after the break. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got some texts rolling in, so we're going to try to get to them all. Mike, here's another one from Andrea. She says, I recently bought a new construction home in a brand new subdivision in North Pace. The lawn is terrible with divots and all sorts of stuff under the sod that was thrown in! What can I do to fill the divots? Should I tear everything up. Should I try plugs or grass seed topsoil? I'm at a loss, and I want a really nice yard for my kids to play. Thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate the chicken line. Okay, what can she do?
Okay.
She's got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, this is a problem with a lot of folks.
Yeah,
we're
laughing, but it's a serious
problem. Oh, no, this is serious. This is a lot of money.
Right,
You know, new construction, mm-hmm. and the sod was put in, I'm trying to think of a nice word, not correctly.
That's very diplomatic. That's very good.
You've got to be very diplomatic here. A couple things. One, if the grass is coming out of dormancy, and it's getting close to that, not totally, but you have divots and that type of thing, you can always kind of fill those in, those spots, you know, if it's undulating grass now, on those spots with some white builder sand. We talked about that last week.
That's right.
Remember, Meg?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you want to do, you want to put some builder sand in those low areas, but you want to be sure there's some of the grass peeking through, which means you might have to do it a couple of times. But that might even it out. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it'll surprise you with enough water, correct fertilizer, correct mowing. I'd avoid the weed killer. It's brand new sod. I wouldn't even think about it. But if you do all the other cultural practices correctly, it may come back better than you think.
Mm-hmm.
But if it really does have those divots in it, you can kind of level it out with that white builder sand. If not, you know, and you just, you know, you hate to say this to them.
I know. How do you know when it's time to just start over?
Oh, you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know. If say, by June, mm-hmm. it's still a mess,
mm-hmm.
You may have to redo it. I mean, that's all there is to it. But I believe you can salvage it. I really do, by using good cultural practices, mowing, fertilizing, water, kind of filling in the low spots, and no weed killer. And that's how I would start. Probably about the best you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is call the contractor who put the sod in.
Really?
say, sir.
Yeah.
Sir, it really isn't done correctly. I need help.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good advice. Because they should be accountable for it, don't you think?
Well, of course. Yeah. Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. So that would be where I would go.
Okay. Well, thanks for texting that in. The number is 850-437-1620. We've had a lot rolling in this morning, so I'm primed to get to everybody. If I've missed yours, I apologize in advance. And, Mike, I'm going to turn it back over to you because you had that spring list you were working on.
Well, I did. There's not too many left here. One I want to mention. I think this is fun, and it's very, very timely. And that, of course, is start planning your annuals, your color that you want to plant in your yard this spring. It's too early. You want to plant impatiens or marigolds, it's too early. Because, as Meg said at the beginning of the show, if you missed it, it may snow next week.
I didn't say that. I read that.
Oh, you read it.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Let's be clear. I didn't say it.
Okay.
I'm just repeating something crazy that I read on social media.
I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it. Okay, but here's what I'd like to recommend to folks. Picking the plants you want to plant for color, it's fun, and you can do something different than you did last time. But a good resource is the North Florida Annual Planting Guide put out by the University of Florida, IFAS Extension. IFAS stands for the Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences.
Oh.
And it is the last word in residential landscaping, vegetable gardening. They are in partnership with the county agents.
Hmm.
Now, it didn't have pictures, this planting guide, but it had 50 plants from which you could choose to plant. I mean, everything from alyssum to calendulas to dianthus to dusty miller to ornamental cabbage and kale. That's a winter one. Petunias, salvia, finca, periwinkle, mm-hmm. all these. And it had a spreadsheet with it by month telling you when you should plant it. Now the answer to when to plant these is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
We do it when the chance of frost is over. So in any event, it's called the North Florida Annual Planting Guide from IFAS, IFAS. If you Google that,
mm-hmm.
I think you'll find one. I printed mine off, and I use it a lot on the garden line. So
absolutely.
If somebody wants to know about calanchos or lobelia, I've got it right here. So you can kind of take your pick. Also, it's not on here,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of folks are, maybe they're in a rut. You know, they've planted same thing every year and want to plant something totally different. Most of your garden centers have their annual 2026 seed rack ready to go, all on display.
Uh-huh.
It's fun. Thumb through that, and maybe you see something you've never heard of, but on the back it says it will grow in our zone, which mm-hmm. is zone 8, zone 9, in that area, and find something really unusual
that'd be
to plant. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah, and that sounds like great advice.
Kind of think about that. But as far as our checklist for spring, it really is time to start planting. And I always like to talk about caladium bulbs, so that's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you can order those from my buddy Jack
mm-hmm.
in Lake Placid, Florida. You know, it's called Caladiums Florida, not Florida Caladiums, Caladiums Florida. A beautiful website, pictures of every type of caladium, how they grow, how he sells them, and also of elephant ears. It's all he sells, caladium bulbs and elephant
Neat.
Ears. So, and if you're going to buy the caladiums online from Jack or somebody else, don't buy any of the smaller ones. Buy number ones or jumbos. The jumbos, you can take one jumbo bulb, say put it in about a 15-inch clay pot. It will fill that pot and be gorgeous all summer long.
Wow, okay.
So they're so much fun to grow. Mm-hmm. If you haven't grown them before, it really is one of my favorites.
So then, again, the caladiums?
Caladiums, Florida.
Okay, right. Caladiums, Florida.
Down Lake Placid, Florida. I've bought from him for years.
Huh, okay.
Always. And he got a great service. I'll order from him and say, I want this, this, and this. And he'll text back and say, Mike, I'm going to send them to you, but I'm going to send them to you mm-hmm. when it's time to plant them in your area of North Florida. Very service-oriented.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Great advice. Good. Got one more question. Try to squeeze in here before the break.
Sure.
Good morning. Is it late planting this year for vegetables? I've got tomatoes about an inch high, and that's from Lisa in Milton.
Lisa from Milton.
Mm-hmm.
How can I put this? We don't have a better expert than Lisa from Milton.
Oh.
She does a lot of the above ground gardening,
uh-huh.
and to have her tomatoes doing fine, that is great. And that's, I'm glad she brought that up, because in my checklist, which
we're
going to talk about that on one of our shows. We don't have time to hit the whole thing. But everybody should plant one tomato plant.
They're fine.
Maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
We'll plant a larger growing tomato like a Rutgers or a Celebrity or a Better Boy. And then I'll plant some of your cherry tomatoes, which are so easy to grow.
And so good.
Yeah. But this North Florida planting guide, another edition of it, is a North Florida planting guide for vegetables.
Oh.
And it has 52 different vegetables.
Wow.
Some of which are winter stuff.
Right.
But most of them are for us here. And there are many, many vegetables you can start growing right now.
Huh.
Because they also have that one by months.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I'm going to look at the January, February, March. Beets. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, collards, that's fun, kale, lettuce.
Wow.
These are things, spinach, things you can grow in March. So check out that planting guide on your internet also. It's got all kinds of stuff. But Lisa, we hope you'll stick with us all spring and summer long.
We need reports.
Because, quite frankly, what did they say about James Bond?
Yes.
Nobody does it better than she does.
My goodness, Lisa.
She is great.
Coming from Garden Lines, Mike Wiggins, that's a compliment, boy.
Yeah. Well, we got Catherine in there, too.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, we got quite
we
a
got
few
Catherine,
now.
All right?
We got quite a few.
Talking about somebody else. But we've got some great listeners.
We do.
We really do.
We really
know what they're doing.
And we appreciate you so much.
So much, no doubt.
And on that note, we got to take a break because we appreciate our sponsors, too.
Well,
this is Pep Talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We've been having fun this morning.
Oh, we have had fun. One thing about the vegetable gardening.
Yes, sir.
And we'll talk about this on another show. But keep in mind, you don't need to have a back 40 that you plow up.
That was my thought.
For a vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the things you can plant in your flower bed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, what a lot of people do, I think it's kind of fun. I'm going to call it an executive herb garden.
Oh.
Where you line up different pots with parsley, sage, rosemary.
Yeah, and
each one labeled and in a real pretty pot.
Uh-huh.
And that just makes it fun and makes it look good, too. So you don't have to plow things up. Just plant wherever you can.
Okay, I'm going to take your advice.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. Mike Wiggins, it's always a pleasure.
You're the best, Meg.
You're the best. I learned so much from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Where you lead, I will follow.
Big mistake.